here with you this morning. Got a bright, beautiful day, and it's only supposed to get to 92 today. So that's a good thing, right? Okay. And I'm really glad that God created air conditioning. He did, you know. You laugh about it, but He's the one that created all the principles that make it work, right? So therefore, He created it. It's great to be with you. We are studying and focusing on getting to know Jesus in a closer relationship and really kind of basing it on the whole idea of a question that says, do you know my Jesus this way? And, you know, the Bible tells us a lot about Jesus, has a lot of different names for Jesus and a lot of different characters for Jesus in terms of who He really was. And I'm afraid that sometimes a lot of people just don't really get to know Jesus in all of those different ways. And so that's what we're trying to do, is to focus on some of these things the Bible says about who Jesus is so that we can get to know Him in a better relationship in that way. So this morning, the question is, do you know my Jesus as Savior? Okay? Do you know my Jesus as Savior? And when I ask that question this morning, it has a lot more to do with our everyday lives than just being baptized into Christ and saying, yes, I'm saved. Okay? And hopefully as we study this morning, you'll be able to see what I mean by that and why I say that. We start out over in John chapter 3, and if you look at your notes there, you notice that I have from teacher to student. This is the story of a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was one of the teachers of the law. And Nicodemus came to Jesus, the Bible tells us, at night. And there is a lot of different speculative reasons why Nicodemus waited till nighttime to come to Jesus. There's, you know, was it because he didn't want to be seen by all of his, you know, friends in the Sanhedrin talking to Jesus? Was it maybe because there were some interesting things that Jesus was saying, but he wasn't ready to make a full commitment to Jesus until maybe he had, you know, an opportunity to talk to him one-on-one? Was it because maybe Nicodemus wanted to talk to Jesus without, you know, the crowds, without the, you know, being, you know, disrupted by all the people? And so there's a lot of different possibilities. But the main thing is that Nicodemus, being one of the teachers of the law, wanted to inquire about some things with Jesus. He had some important questions on his heart and mind. And so he goes to Jesus and he asks him, or makes this particular statement, Rabbi, this is in chapter 3, verse 2, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Now, that is, in a sense, it's a question. Nicodemus isn't quite sure who Jesus is, but he makes this statement of belief, this statement of fact, you see. We know that you're from God, because if you weren't from God, you wouldn't be able to do what you're doing, because nobody could do these things unless God were with him. So I know that. And then Jesus takes, and I believe really focuses on where Nicodemus' heart really is. You see, Jesus knows what Nicodemus is really there for and wants to know for sure. And so he makes this statement, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And Jesus will say, repeat that same idea, but go into more detail down in verse 5. I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Now, Nicodemus, you know, when Jesus makes this kind of a statement, you know, he's really kind of, in a sense, objecting to what Jesus is saying. Notice how he replies here, verse 4. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus said, "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Well, you see, here's the problem. Nicodemus, it might seem like that he doesn't really understand what Jesus is saying, but I'm convinced he understands fully what Jesus is saying. You see, Nicodemus was a teacher of the law, and the Jews had the practice of baptism. You see, Nicodemus knew what baptism was all about. He knew what washing and cleansing was all about. That wasn't a question in his mind. What Nicodemus is really saying, I'm convinced, is I'm old and I'm set in my ways, and it's hard for an old man to learn new things and to change his ways. How is it possible to make that happen? Does that kind of sound familiar maybe to something you might have felt in your life and maybe have even expressed to God, I know what you're telling me to do, but you know, I've been doing this for so long and it's hard for me to change. That's basically what I believe Nicodemus is saying to Jesus. Okay? And then Jesus challenges Nicodemus on you know, this kind of an inquiry and this kind of a statement. Notice what he says here. As Nicodemus, again, verse 9 says, "How can this be?" And Jesus says, "You are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things?" You see, Jesus is basically letting Nicodemus know that he knows that Nicodemus knows what he's talking about. Does that make sense? You see? You know, in other words, he's saying, Nicodemus, you know, you're smarter than this. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You're a teacher of Israel. But you see, in this situation, the teacher has truly become the student. Because there's something important that Nicodemus and you and I today need to understand in what Jesus is saying here. As the narrative continues, look at what Jesus says here. He says, "I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony." And he's basically laying it out for Nicodemus that he's been coming and preaching the truth and telling the truth, things that the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, ought to recognize because they knew the law. And all of the things that Jesus had been saying and doing, they were prophesied in the law. And so they should have known these things. And they should have accepted them. But that was not happening. And so Jesus continues on explaining to the teacher who has now become a student. And then we come to that verse 16 and verse 17. Which verse 16 is probably the most recognized verse in all of Scripture, perhaps the most quoted, okay? That Jesus is explaining to this student, this teacher who has become a student, the basic fundamental core of why the Messiah has come. And he states it in this way, that it's all about love. It has its core in love, not in law, as the Pharisees had believed. It was all about God's love. And Jesus expresses it this way, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He so loved the world. And what that statement is saying at its core is that God loved His creation so much. And I like this part because that's talking about you and I today, right? Because we're His creation. That God so loved you and I today and back then, all of the people, His creation. He so loved His creation that He was willing to give up His one and only Son so that His creation could be saved. when you look at verse 17 and you really begin to understand, and this is where we begin to get to know Jesus as the Savior, look at what he says. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You see, that's the message that we need to grasp. And it's the message that we need to share with other people. Basically, what it says here is that, you know, God could have, if he wanted to, and if he was not love, God could have just destroyed us all. He could have condemned us all to hell. That's what we deserve, by the way. You know that, right? Everybody, you deserve to go to hell. Okay? So do I. Because we're sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we got what we deserve, that's exactly what we would get. But God so loved His creation that He made a way for His creation not to get what we deserve, but instead to receive grace. You see, we need to know Jesus as one who came to this earth, to this world we live in, not to put us down, not to rub our noses in our sin, but rather to forgive us, to make provision so that we could be saved. That's why he came, and that's how much God loves you. Okay. And Nicodemus needed to learn that lesson. This teacher of Israel became a student so that he could learn one of the most important lessons that the Bible has ever taught. But if you need more convincing, turn over to John chapter 4. And we see another encounter with Jesus. This time it is a woman. And not just any woman, but it's a Samaritan woman. And not just any Samaritan woman, but this is a woman who is an outcast. And that's why, if you look on your outline, you see the title of this section is From Despair to Hope. This is a woman who is living in a completely hopeless situation as far as she is concerned. Do you understand why the Scriptures tell us that this woman came to the well to draw water, and why she was there at that time of the day, and why she was there by herself? And the reason for that is because no one else would go with her. She wasn't allowed to go to the well in the morning when the women traditionally went to the well to draw their water for the day, when it was cooler and such. She was an outcast because of her lifestyle. And there was nothing that this woman was able to see in her future that was ever going to change that. She came to the well to draw water by herself at that time of the day because she had resigned herself to that fate. And nothing was going to change that. That is, until she met Jesus. And in this encounter with Jesus, and it's interesting if you go through and you read the dialogue between her and Jesus, and how she starts out with this impression of Jesus as being just another Jewish man who doesn't really give the time of day to a Samaritan woman, because that's typically how things went. When the encounter first began, that's how she saw Jesus. But when her encounter was over, she ran back to this town of hopelessness, and said, "Come see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? And you see, what was it that sparked that kind of a proclamation? What was it that gave this woman the hope that she had? What was it that changed this woman's position from being in complete despair to being one who would go back to the very town that had scorned her and chastised her and cast her out from amongst them, to go back to them and to proclaim the Messiah? What was it? I want to suggest to you, it was what Jesus said to her concerning her situation. In the dialogue, if you look in this is John chapter 4, verse 16, Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Do you see what's just taken place here? You need only to look at the woman's testimony when she goes back to the town and tells them what's taken place to understand what Jesus has just done for this woman. She goes back to the town, and what does she say? "Come see a man who's told me everything I've ever done." Could this be the Messiah? Now, understand, this woman was not talking about all the great things and nice things in her life from the time she was a child up until that particular moment. She's talking about the sin in her life. That this man who she'd never met before, this Jewish man who comes on the scene, who's a complete stranger to her, opens up her life before her very eyes and exposes even the sin. And leaves her with a hope that indeed this man must be the one we've been waiting for, the Messiah. The interesting thing about this story is that it gets even better from here, okay? As if that weren't enough. As if Jesus hadn't taken this woman and restored her hope. If that were the end of the story, it'd be a great story, wouldn't it? But it doesn't end there. Because when the woman goes back to the town and she tells the people about Jesus, they welcome Jesus into their town. Look at what it says here. Jesus had gone there to the town. And verse 39, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and He stayed 2 days. And because of His words, many more became believers. Look at verse 42. "They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" You see, this woman, and not only her, but the town itself, that town that had ostracized her, that town that had put her down, that town that had given her a life of despair, has learned from her and has recognized Jesus as the Savior of the world and declared Him to be such. Wow, what an awesome, awesome story. To understand how Jesus takes people from being in total despair, even when their despair is brought on by their own sin and brings them the hope in recognizing Him as the Messiah. But you know what? It gets even better than that. Okay? It gets even better than that. Turn over to John chapter 8 and let's look at one more encounter with Jesus. This is the story of the woman who was brought to Jesus, who had been caught, her accuser said, in the very act of adultery. And this is a woman who, for all practical purposes, was dead. Okay? She was a dead woman. Because she had violated a part of the law that required. It wasn't like just, you know, sentencing recommendations like we have in our courts today. The law required that such women be stoned to death. And she had been caught in the very act. And so, for all practical purposes, this woman was dead. She had a death sentence hanging over her head. Would you consider that to be a hopeless situation? Yeah, I would too. Okay. But the message that Jesus brings to her and to her accusers and to you and I today is again one of hope because He is the Savior. As the woman's accusers bring her before Jesus and they demand some kind of a response from Jesus, and of course the Scriptures indicate to us and they tell us that this was a trap that they had said. They figured that, hey, you know, we got Him now, okay? This is the situation. We got Him now because, you know, the law is clear. Women like this are to be stoned to death. So, you know, hey, if He says, you know, if He goes ahead and has the stoner, then, you know, the Romans are going to get after Him and He'll be no longer our problem. If He says don't stone her, then He's going against the law. So we got Him either way. They thought they had a clear-cut trap set for Jesus. There's no wiggle room, no way in the world Jesus is going to get out of this one. And you know what the problem is with them? You know why they missed this opportunity? Do you know why Jesus got out of the trap? It's because they didn't see Jesus as who He really was, that is, the Savior. They saw Him in the same way they saw themselves as people who were there to condemn those who do wrong, because that's how they viewed the law. You violate the law, you get punished. Period. No questions. That's what the law says. That's what we have to do. That's how they saw Jesus. But Jesus taught them otherwise. Jesus showed Himself to be who they were not expecting Him to be. As they're pushing Jesus for an answer. What are you going to do, Jesus? What are you going to do? I like the part, by the way, about Jesus bending down and writing in the sand. And then His answer. Whichever one of you is without sin, cast the first stone. And John tells us that they began to leave one by one, until no one was left except the woman with Jesus. And then here's where it is. This is, and you've heard me say this before, this passage, I'm convinced, is the core of what Jesus is all about. Jesus says to this woman, is there no one left to condemn you? No one, sir. Neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. You see, the message that Jesus gives to this woman, He gives her her life back, doesn't He? She came to Him a dead woman, and she leaves in a new life. And that is what Jesus is all about. That's why He came. You see, the message that Jesus is giving to this woman is the same message He's given to you and I today. Jesus is saying, look, I'm not about condemning people. That's not why I came. If I wanted to condemn people, I could have done that from up there. That's not why I came. I didn't come to condemn. I came to save. But there's something you've got to do in order for me to save you. You've got to change the way you're living. Because you cannot continue living the way you've been living and accept my salvation. That's the message that Jesus gave to this woman. And it's the message that He gives to you and I today. It is a message of salvation. I didn't come here to this earth, to this world, to condemn people. And He wouldn't have had to come here if that was what He was all about. God created this world by His Word, just speaking it. He could have just destroyed everything, again, by His Word. He didn't have to send His Son here to die if His desire was to condemn them. He sent Jesus here so that we could be saved, not condemned. Why? Because He is love. And He so loved His creation that He gave up His one and only Son so that you and I could be saved, not condemned. But it requires leading a different life. Do you know my Jesus as Savior? Do you know Him that way? As the one who has come to save you from your sins, not to condemn you of them. You see, the reason I wanted to focus on this morning is because there are too many Christians wandering around in this earth that are still wallowing and living in guilt. And as long as they stay there, and if you're one of those, as long as you stay there, then your situation from your perspective remains hopeless and you're never going to enjoy the life that Jesus came to give you. But you've got to recognize Him as a Savior, not as one who came to condemn you. Did you mess up? Did you sin? Yeah. Anybody else sin in your life? Anybody else mess up? Yeah. I don't know about you, but I've done it big time. Lots of times. If you let Satan convince you that Jesus just wants to get rid of you, He just wants to condemn you, and He's just going to wait until He can punish you for your sins, then you've missed who Jesus is really all about. Because He came to save you from your sins, not condemn you. Because that's who He is. God so loved you as His creation that He gave His Son for you. Do you know Jesus that way? If you're already a Christian, and maybe Satan has got you bound up in some guilt that is not letting you really get to know Jesus as your true Savior, then let's deal with that this morning. Let's get rid of that. If you've never given your life to Christ, then you are still lost in your sins. If you've never had your sins washed away in baptism, you're still separated from God and you're still lost. But Jesus came for you. And so if you're ready to make a commitment to follow Him, you can do that right now this morning. Call upon Him as Lord. Repent of the sins that are separating you from Him and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now so that Jesus can be your personal Savior, because that's why He came. If we can do anything this morning to help you, in that relationship with Jesus so you can know Him that way, all you got to do is come up here and let me know. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to go back and have a private prayer, talk with him privately, and I'll be up here in the front to receive you. So let's stand together and sing.